Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Kylie Crabb is a minister of the Word in the Uniting Church and Associate Professor of Biblical and Early Christian Studies at Australian Catholic University. Currently, her biblical studies work is particularly focused on disability in the Bible and the way in which these passages are interpreted in different historical contexts, including contemporary settings. Kylie lives and works on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations in Naam.
Hello, I'm glad to join you for the Australian Women Preach podcast. Today I'm going to be preaching on Mark 16, verses 1 to 8 for Easter Day. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Before this, they'd been wondering who would roll away the stone. But perhaps remarkably, Mary, and Salome went to the tomb anyway. And they found not only the entrance clear, but the tomb empty. Resurrection life has broken into the world. In terror and amazement, they flee. Let us pray. God of grace and love, as we stand in the faith to which these women are the first witnesses, refine our listening, we pray. Calm our fears. And by your Spirit, lead us in our meditations on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we may well wonder, what kind of a note is this on which to end a gospel? Fear and silence. Indeed, some of Mark's earliest readers started wondering if perhaps a little something weren't missing here. And if you've ever looked at the end of the Gospel of Mark in your printed Bible, you'll see that some early manuscripts show the signs of someone having attempted just this. Like a sort of choose-your-own-adventure novel, your printed Bible will probably have two possible endings, a shorter one without verse numberings and a longer one given as verses 9 to 20, often set out by ancient scribes slightly differently in their manuscripts. Most scholars see these verses as a creative addition, drawing in elements from all the other Gospels and a bit of Acts. So these are old solutions, still biblical, but to an apparent problem of Mark's, maybe for some, disappointing ending. But what are we to make of it though? And, well, really, is there enough substance here to sustain an Easter Day sermon? At first glance, after all the detail of the long story of Jesus' betrayal, unjust trial and death, to which Mark devotes such a large chunk of his narrative, perhaps this seems like an anticlimax. No resurrection appearance is described, no beachside breakfast of fish or mountaintop commissioning like we get in John and Matthew, but simply a youth dressed in white who tells the women that Jesus has been raised and gone ahead to Galilee and to let Peter and the other disciples know. But this young man does give one more direction. He says, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. To make sense of the ending, the women, and so also the reader, are being told to dig back into the story. Jesus himself had said this would happen, talking to his friends after the Last Supper about how they would all desert him. He said he'd be raised and go to Galilee. So we're reminded here of earlier bits of Mark that only make sense now. Somehow, Mark tells us, our experience of Easter is going to be shaped in important ways by holding the whole story together. A story that speaks not only then and there, but also now, here. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome are, of course, not the last women to say nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Women have often been silenced through quite justifiable fear. We know the statistics on gendered violence in Australia, which are also borne out in various other jurisdictions worldwide, that on average, a woman is killed each week by a partner or former partner. I learned in recent weeks that the stats are now leaning more towards former partner. Women are speaking out, making choices, seeking protection. But we have more work to do as a society to ensure that they are safe when doing so. And indeed, to find ways to build cultures of respect, to break the patterns that lead to gendered violence in the first place. There is heartache in our world so deep that we may well struggle to put things into words, to put hope into words, and to find ways to say something to someone. We gather at Easter this year as fellow humans endure war and all its related effects. I know we are all extremely conscious of this, a third Easter for the war in Ukraine. Political unrest and massive civilian casualties in Somalia, Gaza, Israel, the lands of Jesus' own story, torn apart. And all the struggles and disappointments and mistakes and sins and betrayals and griefs closer to home. If you come to Easter this year with a heavy heart, then you are not alone. If perhaps you find yourself with a medical diagnosis playing on your mind, a difficult relationship or struggling child or parent, cost of living worries keeping you awake at night, or finding yourself simply struggling under the burdens of everyday life, then hear the Easter affirmation that you are not alone. The God of the cross plumbs the very depths with us. Mark knows how central the story of the Passion and cross is. He devotes so much of his gospel to that part of the story. There is good news in the radical solidarity of God with us in the most difficult and heartbreaking spaces in our lives and in our world. But Mark also gives us hints that this is not all. Even as Jesus predicts his own death and abandonment in Mark, he points to the resurrection that his disciples don't yet understand. And for those of us, like me, from traditions that separate out the parts of the Easter service from Thursday to Sunday, so that we can slow it down and really attend, helpfully, to each bit of the story, to Thursday's betrayal, Friday's death, the silence of Easter Saturday, to joy on Sunday. Well, Mark reminds us just how inseparable, ultimately, the whole story is. The resurrection hope is important precisely because it is the one who suffers, the one who joins our human heartache, who is the same one who is raised. This is a call to hold all the parts of Easter together and to be held together by all of Easter, even, or perhaps especially, when we feel like we might fall apart. It's a call to know Christ's solidarity with us in suffering and Christian hope of transformation. Scholars have wondered a lot about what to make of the silence of the women in Mark 16. Is it a sign of discipleship failure? Well, if it is, then these women are notably the last ones standing at this point. Peter and the other men have fallen away much earlier. Is it a sign that they recognize mystery, the extraordinary, incomprehensible discovery for which the only fitting response is silence? Is it a sign of fear that knows the cost of discipleship, that has seen already the price Jesus has paid for his proclamation of good news and challenging kingdom values, and has experience enough to know that a group of women with a radical witness will not fare any better? However we see the cause of this silence, it leaves the gospel in a kind of pregnant pause, one that can only be answered by drawing us back into the story, back to Galilee, back to the cost of discipleship, back to an honest and serious awareness, not only then, but also now, that all is not yet right with the world. The funny thing about ending with this group of women believers saying nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, as biblical scholar Morna Hooker rather famously observed, is that the entire preceding story is evidence that somehow, sometime, someone did tell the story. The reader has just finished reading it. Despite the silence or failure of pretty much all the humans around Jesus, the good news of the story of Jesus Christ, as Mark's story begins in its first verse, somehow did get out. And it invites the reader to be part of this story. Mark's ending tells us in its own way that all hope is never lost. When all Jesus' friends had abandoned him, and finally even the women remained silent out of terror, resurrection faith is still at work. Indeed, God's resurrection power had already rolled away the stone, raised Jesus, brought life and hope where there had been none. Mark invites us to hold all of Easter together. Easter faith means looking very directly into the absolute heartache of all that is not yet right in our world. And it is being startled by the promise that risen life will come into the most heartbreaking places and transform us and the world, that there will be a day with no more tears. This Easter, may you know this hope more and more, and be sustained by the promise of God's action to transform all that is not right with the world. And while we nurture that hope, leaning into it with our action, seeking the Spirit's guidance and company as we likewise work for change together, may we nurture also this confidence that there is nowhere too broken, too betrayed, too full of regrets at our own bad behaviour, and nowhere so infused with the stench of death that God in Christ has not been there and will not meet us even now. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be with you this Easter season. And may the blessing of the God of love, the lover, the beloved, and the Spirit of love be upon you now and always. Amen.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.